Okay, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 5 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 5. And, of course, the subject is the priesthood, the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 5, the Apostle Paul, I believe who is the author, is showing the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ to the Levitical priesthood. And as we look at this, we see this a comparison. And of course, the picture is the Jews who are professing, the Jews that professing Christians among the Jews are thinking of leaving the reproach of Christ, leaving the persecution that comes with it, going back to Judaism, and taking the easy road. And it's biblical, after all. And so he's showing them from the Bible the inferiority of the Judaic system. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Now we know a number of places in the Old Testament where someone took upon themselves the priesthood. And we think of Saul. He took on a role that God had not called him to, and he offered sacrifices. And God said, "That's it. You'll no longer be king. You'll no longer be king. You have invaded something that is sacred, and you have taken to yourself that which is not given to you." Of course, later on, we find King Uzziah enters the temple to offer sacrifices, and he is met there by the priest, and they said, "No." And he said, "Yes, I will." And he was struck with leprosy. And we find a very a serious point here. A very important point, that Aaron did not become the high priest because he decided to. But he was appointed by God to the priesthood. Exodus chapter 28. These are the instructions to Moses. "And thou, and take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." And here we find the command that Aaron would be the high priest of the people. And we find some important things to know about Aaron. One thing that was true about Aaron, Aaron was a sinner. And when he offered a sacrifice, he had to offer one for himself first. And he was given this great role of representing the people to God, verse 1, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. in this great role of representing God to the people. And that was important. He was to follow the ordinances of God meticulously. Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire and God struck them dead. Why? Because they did not hold their office sacred. They did not take it seriously that they were to represent God to the people. And so they went to God with sacrifices that were not acceptable to God, and God struck them dead. We have a problem today that there are many people who claim to be worshiping God, and they're worshiping God the wrong way. And the reason they're worshiping God the wrong way is because they don't hold what they're doing as sacred. They don't understand the sacredness of worship, nor the sacredness of the role of representing God to the people. Now, I think that is a very important point as we think of this. You know, one of the problems today with Christianity is we have a lot of men in the ministry who haven't been called by God. They've been called by themselves, or for whatever reason they are in the ministry. And you know, if ever I get off the scene, you better make sure that the next pastor of this church is called by God. And you better look for the evidences that they are called by God. You better look for that recognition that they have a sacred duty before God. You know, that's what's wrong with the whole home church movement. You have people, in one sense of the word, figuratively invading the priest's office. Not that it's even that. But they're invading the ministry without being called. And they don't have a responsibility to God. They don't hold their office sacred. And people view what they have as a job. You know, one time, I remember someone fell in the church. He wasn't saved here, and we weren't able to convert him thoroughly. But he said, "Pastor, why don't you just stop preaching on some of the stuff you preach? You know, we'd have a lot bigger church." Now, he was a businessman. And you know, he didn't have a sacred view of the ministry. His view of the ministry was results. That was his view of the ministry, results. How to get the place full. And he said, just quit preaching what you preach, you know, and get a bigger crowd. And he says, I said to him, "You don't understand. I can't go against my conscience. I can't go against my conscience. I can't change what God has called me to do." And we need to understand that. I think that's really a very vital part of someone who says that they are called to the ministry. That they have a sense of the fact that they have a sacred call from God. And isn't it interesting, when Nadab and Abihu, when they didn't have that sacred view of what they were called to do, they offered strange fire, and God took their lives. And you know what God told Aaron? No mourning. No funeral. This isn't something to mourn about. You don't give the appearance that you're mourning over something God has done. God did right. And your office is far above the grief that you feel as a father. We have that all mixed up today, don't we? So we see about Aaron, the priest, as exemplified by Aaron, had to be called by God. He had to be called by God. Now think about the calling of the Lord Jesus. Now, 1 Peter tells us that the Lord was called in eternity past. Turn there to 1 Peter. And the ministry part and the calling, that was just an amplification, I think, of a truth that we need to be reminded of. 1 Peter 1:20. But we're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Wow. He's ordained before the foundation of the world. He was called, he was chosen as our man's high priest before the foundation of the world. Now, you think about when the Lord Jesus was baptized, we have God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then we have the statement in Psalm number 7. Psalm number 2. Psalm number 2 in verse 7, it says, "I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. This day have I begotten thee." Here, speaking of the resurrection of Christ, and he rose from the dead to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and the result of that is that the Lord Jesus Christ will rule on this earth as the Messiah King. Now, he shows us that not only is we see from the priesthood, they don't take it on by themselves, they're called by God. Jesus did not take something on of himself that was of himself. He was ordained by God. And not only was he ordained as a priest, he was ordained as a kingly priest. If you think in the Old Testament, David was different than the other kings. The other kings lost their job, so to speak, when they invaded the priest office. But not David. Because David was the type of Christ. He was the kingly priest. And in this sense, we see that the Lord Jesus is far above Aaron. Amen. Aaron was merely a priest. The Lord Jesus was the kingly priest. We find that Aaron, the Bible says, had to offer sacrifices for himself. When he went on the Day of Atonement into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and the high priest only could go in there, and the high priest had to bring an atonement for the people. But before he could do that, he had to bring in an atonement for himself, because he was a sinner. He was a sinner. But the Lord Jesus didn't have to offer an atonement for himself, did he? Because he was the perfect Son of God. Aaron had to come and offer a sacrifice once a year. And every year. You know why? Because it could only cover the sin. It was only the Lord Jesus whose real sacrifice was able to make the payment before a holy God for our sins. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, what what the book of Hebrews is saying, he's comparing. He said, okay, you want Judaism, you want Aaron. Well, Aaron, he's a sinner. Yeah, he was called by God, but he's just a sinner. And Aaron has to bring a sacrifice for his own sins. He has to do it every year. But Christ, he isn't a mere man. He's the God-man. What do you want? You want an earthly priest? One who's going to die? One who has to do it every year? And the fact that they have to do it every year is the token that it doesn't work. It doesn't take away sins. What do you want? You know, sometimes I think we need to get people in a good discussion and from the Bible and say, okay, let's make a comparison. Let's make a comparison. You know, this is what you want. Well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You know, people want worldly Christianity. We ought to show them what the Bible says, what they're missing out on. So, we won't go too much further here, but let's look quickly and then we will close. We'll look at these verses here. It says, verse 2, that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Jesus wasn't compassed with infirmity. He was victorious over infirmity. By reason thereof, he ought, as for the people also for himself, to offer sins. Christ never had to offer sins for himself. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. That's Psalm 2:7. As he said also another place, this is Psalm 110 and verse 4. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's telling us that the Messiah king, Messiah priest, was going to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Aaron's priesthood was limited by his life. Christ's priesthood is forever. Now, I personally think Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Abraham came from the recapturing the lost goods and the people of Sodom, including Lot. And the Bible says, and Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, came and met him. But I find it interesting that He was called the King of Salem. He's also called Melchizedek, which means the King of Righteousness. And later on, it talks about Melchizedek was introduced in Scripture without father, without mother, without beginning, without end of days. So Aaron was a priest after the order of Aaron, an earthly priest, but Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that is able to save him from death, and he was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he goes on to the next warning session, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So we find the superiority of Christ. We'll come back to that later. He's superior in that Aaron was merely human, and he was divine. Aaron was a sinner, compassed about with infirmity. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. Aaron offered only a sacrifice that had to be done over and over, that could never take away sins. The Lord Jesus offered a sacrifice once forever. What's the comparison? What's the comparison? You know, think of it this way. I remember before I was saved, one day I was thinking, it's surely from the Holy Spirit. I was thinking, you know, I don't know if my good works are going to outweigh my bad. In fact, I was thinking, you know what? Maybe my bad works are going to outweigh my good. And I was thinking, well, you know, how many good works do you have to do to get to heaven? And you think about it, people who are trusting good works, when will there ever be enough? Never. Never. There will never be hope for them. There is no hope for them. When will enough be enough? And of course, how could a good deed erase our bad? And then compare that to a perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. A complete payment for sin. And you know, people in the world are in that very inferior system, aren't they? You know, that's what a lot of churches are into. People have to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. You ever notice a lot of good Catholic people, when they get old and they're getting close to death, they go to Mass as many times a week as they possibly can? Oh, they're trying to do everything they can to somehow earn their way to heaven. And actually, many of them are self-deceived, but if they were honest, they would have to say they're hopeless. And then compare it to the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And you know, we need to make the same comparisons in our lives. There ought to be comparison of the bankruptcy of all that false teaching and false religion is offering. And we ought to compare that to the Bible. And just think, here was Jewish people. They actually were thinking in their mind that it was a good trade to trade off Jesus so they could get rid of persecution. You know, they're not the only people that aren't thinking right. A lot of people today don't think well. And they're going to trade off Jesus and the persecution that comes with it for an empty, empty, empty system of the world. Even though it may have a little bit of religion tagged on to it, sprinkled on top. You know, young people, every one of you, through your mind, is they're going, your mind is constantly going through this question. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? Which way are you going to go? You know, it's a wonderful thing to get that figured out and set of who Jesus Christ really is and determine that you're going to follow Him, period. But everybody has to make that decision. Who are you going to follow? Which way are you going to go? Are you going to trade the way of the Lord Jesus for an inferior system? That's what the Jews were going to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the opportunity to compare the priesthood of the Lord Jesus with the earthly priesthood of Aaron. And Lord, I pray that as we in life make decisions about Jesus Christ, that we would take time to really consider who He is and what we are leaving if we would choose to follow someone other than Him in completeness. While our heads bowed, even tonight, perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart. Perhaps you have been very, very foolish. You are choosing the ways of a bankrupt world and forsaking the eternal King, the Lord Jesus. And by the grace of God, the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart tonight that you need to wake up from your foolishness and repent and turn in surrender to our great Savior, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord is speaking to you tonight, and you ought to, and you need to make that turn back to the Lord Jesus. And even tonight, by an uplifted hand, say, you know what, Pastor, that's right. I need to make that decision. And by the grace of God, tonight, I am making that decision. Anyone here tonight, God is speaking to your heart. And you're making that decision to put Jesus Christ first in your life. Okay? Anyone here? Okay? Praise the Lord. I see a couple hands. All right. All right. Amen. Anyone else? All right. Praise the Lord. Others. Lord, we thank you for ministering to hearts as only you can. And we rejoice that the Lord Jesus is worthy to follow. And I pray that you administer and deepen this understanding in your people, especially those, Lord, tonight, that you've been doing a work in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.